B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. It's Friday Eve.
Woo!
Thursday, baby.
I'm excited. I'm playing a lot of Valhalla. We're going to talk about that a little later on. But I'm always happy to be joined by the wonderful people here in this studio.
Who's here?
Starting, well, definitely not you, starting with Callie Scales. What's up?
Starting with the wonderful one. Got
That's
it.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It's all right.
It's starting to cool down a little bit finally here in Michigan, but, you know, sun's still shining, so that's nice.
Yeah, it's all love. Anyway, Chad, you're here too, I suppose.
I guess. I mean, I guess I'm here. Here as much as I can be.
I guess. Yeah, okay.
Spirit.
Good all right, reading. Fine. So we'll have an absent host, essentially. Anyway, I definitely want to say this, guys, is that it's been a crazy couple weeks for us. It's been a crazy couple weeks for you. I'm happy to get back to just talking about video games, and it's so nice.
Like, it's so important that we are able to, like, stop and talk about politics when it matters, or talk about the importance of voting, or talk about all that stuff. But, man, it's also really nice when we just get to go back to talking about, you know, esports and video games, that thing we made our career around.
Yeah.
It feels good when
it feels good to actually do my damn job.
That and around a new gen of consoles coming out.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a nice excitement to the
room.
Dude,
imagine, see, man, damn COVID. E3 was supposed to be lit this year.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's true. I didn't even think of that. A new console E3. That would have been my first E3.
At the same time, doesn't it just kind of feel like COVID just finally put E3 out of its misery?
It did. It put it out of pasture.
It's been trending down for years.
It's still nice, man. And I miss all the LA people we would see, because now we got LA people.
Like, yeah, we got West Coast people.
We got West Coast people now, and I get to see all the West Coast people, and now we don't see them no more.
I know.
Sucks,
I feel like we're
going
to like lose touch, and we'll forget what they look like, and they'll be like, I think I know you. Do
God,
I?
It sucked. But anyway, I'm not going to complain because, I mean,
we're healthy.
We're healthy. And
we're alive. We're doing
at
okay.
The end of the day, it's a wholly unnecessary thing to do.
Yeah,
just like I'm sure many of you have conferences you get to go to in your professional lives.
Heart slot in the chat saying, and it feels good when an orange idiot is kicked out. So that's great.
There it is.
That is great.
There it is. We're feeling great. But anyway, here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
Alrighty, so first and foremost, of course, it is Thursday the 12th. So the PlayStation 5 launched today, launched early this morning. People starting to get their systems already. Everyone cracking into those boxes. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, I'm sure. But I do wanted to highlight some of the launch titles that are going to be available with the PlayStation 5, since we took some time on Tuesday to talk about some of the launch titles for that system as well. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm just going to go through some of the ones that I feel like are relevant. Of course, we've got Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Borderlands 3. Someone's got to sell me on Bugsnax, because everyone's talking about Bugsnax. Robbie is...
We should have
weirdly
Robbie
invested
it.
In it.
Robbie and Rick should have been on this episode to tell you Bugsnax.
I don't like cute games.
See, I don't like.
So
I love a cute
I'm
game.
Out.
I love a cute game. I haven't committed myself to understanding anything about Bugsnax and what it is, but I'm gonna give it. If there's enough people who are like, this game looks great, and I'm looking at it like, really? Then I need to really pay attention
to it. You're willing to admit maybe I'm the one who's off?
Yeah, maybe I need to look at it and be like, well, all right, it's kind of like Minecraft at
first. I think the thing that's happening with Bugsnax is a lot of times what happens with a lot of other games is that it's very, I don't want to say self-deprecating, but self-aware.
Yeah.
It understands that it is
its lane.
It knows it's a stupid idea, and it kind of leans into that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird, as Omega Veltal in our chat has said.
That's the argument I keep seeing, is that it's just weird, which I mean, I guess that is, like, it's good to be weird.
Yeah. It's a standout.
What
it's
was
nice
the last game
out.
That you played that was just weird?
I mean, I compared it to saying, like, remember when Minecraft came out and it's like, these are literally just giant pixels. I'm playing with giant pixels. This is stupid and weird. And now it's still one of the biggest games in the world.
Yeah. Sure. I think a game like Katamari.
Yeah, that's another
weird.
Goofy one.
Just weird.
Little Big Planet was weird.
Yeah,
weird.
All these weird games. So it has a lane. And you know what? PlayStation always leaned heavy into those weird, goofy, kind of fun games. And they, for the most part, always paid off.
So we got Cold War, Dead by Daylight, Demon's Souls.
I know you're excited about that.
Listen, if there's anything that I wanted the PS5 on opening day for, it was for Demon's Souls. I wanted to play the remake. We also got things like, of course, Fortnite. Maneater is making its way over. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man Miles Morales.
With the
it's half a game, but I still want to play
Tim's included, okay? Tim's included. Like, straight up, man. I'm sorry. You took a black kid from New York and you put him in, flat out. It is now the most authentic game ever created. Not Red Dead, not Football Manager, not none of them. Miles Morales is now the most accurate game ever produced by Game Studio. I'm going on record.
Minus the part where, you know, you get bit by a radioactive spider and turn into a man who slings webs.
Have you been to New York lately? That could well happen. I don't know.
The spiders have Tims. What are you talking That's about? True.
A couple other ones just real quick. Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate making its way over.
By the way, Melina is back in Mortal Kombat, and I'm very excited about that.
She was the only part of that announcement that excited me, and I know I was the only one who argued that, but she's super awesome.
And, of course, I would be remiss not to mention Poker Club. So,
wow.
I know. It's great news.
You know what? There's a lane for that, too.
All in all, 28 games available for PS5 at launch, so not too bad.
Not bad.
If you pick up PS5, please let me know how it is as I sit there and cry that I can't play Demon's Souls yet. up next, we got to talk a little bit about Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I just had mentioned it. Norris, you have been playing the hell out of Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Assassin's Creed is a game series that I feel like went in the tank hard when it went into the tank. And has really clawed its way
first
back
of all,
out.
I'm going to tell you what they did. They went to Africa, flat out. So first off the rip, you went to Africa, you went to Egypt, you got all the black folks back on board.
I was like, is that an analogy?
No, they got all black folks back on board because you told us, hey, go experience Egypt. And we were like, absolutely, we'll go. And then Odyssey comes out, builds upon the system that
gets
was put.
Gets the Greeks involved.
Gets the Greeks involved, and also one of the most widely known sort of ancient mythological.
Yeah, that was a smart move on there.
Greek Roman era.
Societies, exactly. So you go back to that, you give people this familiarity, you make a solid game. The gameplay itself is solid. Mm-hmm. The setting did all the heavy lifting in Odyssey. And I feel like with Valhalla, it's the opposite, where the gameplay is doing the heavy lifting, and the setting is not necessarily as engaging because it's England, and England is hilly and wet, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I put already only about 10 hours into it, but it's a game that I don't want to put it down. And I get like that with most games that I'm into, but I really, really like it so far. It's so fun. The dialogue is cool. And especially for me, after watching like The Last Kingdom and Barbarians and Vikings. So I'm like in that headspace. I'm in that mode.
You're very Norse.
I'm Norse. You know what I'm saying? So I'm already in that mode.
Yeah.
And they didn't pull no punches. I thought they were going to pull some punches with the game in terms of like how, you know, the Danes, as they call them, how the Danes actually interfaced with the English. But no, as soon as you get to England, it's like time to go pillage a church. And I'm just like, wow.
I mean, okay. There's no if they would have, there's no secret anymore about the whole Viking thing and like and how they, you know,
how they got down,
how what they did and how they spread around easily and fast.
Yeah, it's like whenever you see someone whose like ancestry is like definitely like kind of like Middle Europe, but then suddenly they have like one thing of like, oh, there's also some Norse in there. Oh, what happened there?
That's literally me.
Is that you?
Yes.
One of your ancestors had a bad day.
My family is apparently a good chunk Viking on my mom's side. I don't know what the old my grandpa used to do that whole ancestry thing. So, but when you see them, it makes sense because they're like big hulking guys, and you look at me and you're like, it skipped a generation, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
we have the same thing because we're almost all Scottish in my family. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, yeah.
And so you either get these very diminutive people or you get the hulking, lumbering giants. And it's like, I can tell that at some point the Highlanders came down
and made Spawn.
And had a day.
It had a night out.
Yeah,
but anyway,
exactly.
But, you know, it's a very solid game. From what I hear, literally, I'm in the wackest part. And if this is the wackest part of the game, Oh boy.
Good trajectory.
Oh boy.
You know, what I just realized is, why is Assassin's Creed following the track of God of War?
You know, I don't know. But here's how I feel about it. I think it's the opposite, because I think Odyssey was actually in development and done, not even thinking about God of War, and Valhalla was like just their next logical step. I feel like it's a little different because God of War is setting what probably is about to be a new trilogy in
It's still gonna only continue
Norse
mythology,
whether they spent the whole time in Greek mythology previously. So I think they are separate tracks, and I think they're very different takes on it. I think what I see from Valhalla, their take on Norse mythology is very much so based in, like, the Norse gods are really just like the people who came before humans,
yeah,
as all mythology in the Assassin's Creed lore, yeah, is. Whereas, no, in God of War, you legit fight gods.
Yeah, no, you just fight gods.
You just fight gods.
Always my favorite.
So,
part.
Yeah.
All right, so I have to ask everyone a question first before we get into this next one. Uh-oh. What is your all-time favorite sports team? Can be meat sports, can be esports. I just need to know your all-time favorite sports team.
I would say Pep Guardiola's Barcelona completely revolutionized how everybody played soccer for the better part of the 2000s.
Okay.
Or 2010, excuse me.
I won't say esports because it's still rather new, but I'm not really a sports person, but I'm going to go with a family tradition. I'm going to say the Red Wings.
The Red Wings? Okay.
The 97 Red Wings.
I saw the Stanley Cup because of the Red Wings, you know, they did win it.
It doesn't have to be a specific year, just the team, but let me ask you a question. Would you join a fan club of that team?
No.
Thank you, Chad. You can sit the rest of this conversation out.
I would, only because if I join the fan club of Barcelona, that means I'm a part owner, because they do club ownership.
Interesting. Yeah. Would you pay $500?
Yes.
Okay. So Cloud9 mm-hmm. has announced Cloud9 Stratus, a fan club that you can join for $500.
Am I a part owner?
What do you...
right. Am I now a part owner of the team?
What do you get specifically?
Okay. So, this is specific from them, so I guess I'll say this. It doesn't have... You can either pay $500 all at once or $125 four times a year.
Okay.
Anyway, when you become a Stratus member, that's what they call T9 Stratus, you get some stuff on the digital and on the physical side. So you on the digital side, you get a private Discord server, a custom Twitter banner, Faceit premium membership, access to Stratus community tournaments, and roundtable discussions with members of the C9 organization. I don't think you get to become a part owner.
Then what's the point?
For physical merchandise, you get a welcome crate that has a custom mouse pad, keycap set for mechanical keyboards, keychain, t-shirt, and an exclusive Stratus Edition Cloud9 jersey.
Okay. Now.
There will be also two more mystery crates that will get sent out throughout the year.
Okay. See, now it's just a subscription box.
Yep.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
Here's what I would appreciate. If you told me that four times a year I pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get a box each time.
Yep.
Right? Guaranteed.
Yep.
I better get new merch every time.
Well, they make so much merch. Right? So that's so easy.
I get new merch every time, and I get the new jersey every year. That's already $80. I get the new boy every year.
Yep, and it's unique to you.
It's unique to me.
Personalized one. Yeah.
Personalized boy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Plus the other stuff. Now, the digital part of it, I could care less. I could care less about a specific discourse.
Like the community tournaments is interesting, but I don't think I'd ever pay for it.
I could care less about talks with people in...
Yeah, that doesn't do a lot for me.
That said, we're in the
media and we can always call up for an interview.
Not even just that, but here's the part that kind of... That irked me about that special Discord and make it digital side. And so... What's stopping me from just having a fan club? Like, we see this with, like, the Outlaws have a huge fan club.
Right, the Vanguard. Yeah.
And, like, they built their own fan club.
Yeah.
They made their own community. They do all these community-based tournaments and things like that within their own Discord server. Like, so what you're offering me is nothing exciting. Well,
it's something I could do for myself for free.
It's something I could probably already find out there.
Well, and that's the thing. Like,
I don't have to.
It's an offer that now you don't have to pay for, or now you don't have to go do it yourself.
Yeah.
See, no. Here's what they did. If they cut it down from $500 a year, right, and made it $250, you cut it in half and gave me just the physical stuff, plus like some sort of special Twitter or Discord banner or something like that, and just give me a room in the Discord that only members can be in, that's worth it.
Did Cloud9 just make an IRL loot box?
Yes.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
What? And all right.
How'd they get away with that? No, so I think it'll do fairly well. I mean, I think $500 is a little steep.
It's a
too.
Little steep,
but I mean, for the jersey, it's pretty sick. Like it sounds like they actually have cool stuff in the boxes. So I'm kind of okay with it. But yeah, it's a loot crate at this point.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't have a problem with loot crates. Some of them are pretty freaking cool.
No, you turn it to $250 a year, and you give me my drops, and I can get that's what it is. You give me my drops. Right, and I got gear in them each time, and I could go and join the special members only part of the Discord server. I'm fine. It doesn't have to be. I don't care about attending members only conversations. What is Niski going to tell me about League of Legends that I'll be able to go and do myself and improve my life?
I think there's a path of like I can do this. I want to be in this. This is my closest that I can get to these
people. Do I get like a premium subscription to like Sneaky's OnlyFans with this? I mean,
does he have one?
I don't know.
If he doesn't, he needs to make one.
I'm gonna look it up
because that's a missed opportunity.
I'm gonna look it up on Robbie's.
All right, well, that's gonna be that for part one of today's episode. We're gonna come back and see if Callie actually found Sneaky's OnlyFans, and also we're gonna talk a little bit.
Sneaky has a Patreon.
They took them. They took lewds off of Patreon. But anyway, we're going to be back with more Checkpoint Daily.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The world of comics has been growing for the past 30 years, and that's why Robbie and Ben are here to break it down for you. Join the Shop Talk every Monday for the latest in all things comic. Find The Other Identity at CheckpointXP.com or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily, Friday Eve. As always, we want you guys to check out some of our other shows, like the Checkpoint Radio Show, which is nationally syndicated. You can check our website, checkpointxp.com, for all of your local listings, because yes, it comes on the actual airwaves, the actual radio. So check it out. It's Checkpoint XP, the national radio show. Now, it's Thursday.
It is, which means tomorrow's Friday.
Which means Mando Day.
Which means it is Mando Eve.
It is Mando Eve.
Oh, yes.
And
I'm so excited.
You know, we definitely want to talk a little bit about the show so far because we did not have a lot of time to talk about the second episode, which I guess it just seems like our Thursday episode will just be what happened in the Mandalorian.
I feel like that's going to be the theme for the rest of the season.
You know,
Thursday equals Mando Day.
Exactly. So Chad was an asshole and didn't watch episode 2. Of season 2, even though he is instructed under penalty of torture to watch the episode. So I have to, you know, pull out the Iron Maiden later on in the day. But with that,
I like the idea of you just whipping out an Iron Maiden.
But with that said,
just out of your pocket,
what do you have to say for yourself, Chad?
This is
foolishness.
Forgotten.
It's your job.
Whatever.
I completely forgot.
I just forgot.
I appreciate the honesty.
So much going on.
Stick with I just forgot. I love the honesty.
Yeah, sorry.
I forgot.
I just forgot.
All right, fine. Play catch up. Anyway, with that said, I had an Omega Weltall in the chat saying, wait, Chad may like that.
Put me in the gimp
thrown
suit.
Thrown into an Iron Maiden.
No, he's telling me
putting
to
him in the gimp suit and spanking
oh,
him.
He's going to like that. Yeah, he's the, that's, I don't want to.
I don't know. I'm looking at Chad. I feel like Kiefer's wearing the gimp suit.
This is a big old human resources flag. This whole conversation. Everyone stop right now. We are talking about The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian might like it.
No, he definitely likes it. Anyway, with that said, listen, episode 2 of The Mandalorian this season is not just a nope. This was a hard nope for me. Hard
oh,
nope.
I loved it.
I know the basis of what it is without seeing it, because we had a conversation before the show about
I don't believe we've actually talked about even episode 1 on this show yet.
No, we haven't. So,
let's just break down the season so far.
Yeah.
So far, we've seen a crate dragon.
That's
awesome.
True.
Crate dragon officially canonized into the Star Wars lore once again. The only reference that was canon that we had to a crate dragon before this was Obi-Wan making a crate dragon call in episode 4 to scare away the sand people, which I how is that not racist?
Scare away the sand people.
Well, he did, and that's what it was. So we have now seen a crate dragon, confirmed that they do in fact have pearls. We can confirm that as well.
Yep.
And they are huge worm monsters.
They're big AF.
They are the graboids.
Is season 2 just Mandalorian, the pest control?
So far,
but you have to understand that it was sort of the same way in season 1, where it was very much so like a Hercules Xena style monster.
Yeah, the first two episodes were just establishing that Mando's a badass.
But like, it wasn't like, well, there was that one creature, but there wasn't very few creatures that he had to go and like battle against and go through. Well, it was all people.
Let me be clear. Episode 1 was very much people giving backlash that it wasn't the crate dragon last time we were on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Like, we were like, wait, how is, okay, you're going to have a fight of a big monster and it's not the crate dragon? What the hell's the matter with you?
Right, exactly. Because was it a mudhorn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that thing came out like, I'm like, that's not a crate dragon. That thing's stupid. And
yeah.
I hate it.
And then it proceeded to almost kill everything. But anyway, I thought episode 1 was really cool because the bait and switch with Boba Fett's armor.
It messed with my head.
Awesome. Because to me, I think, don't tease Boba Fett. Boba Fett is gassed. I literally think he's the most overrated character in the history of Star Wars. Nobody cares about Boba Fett. I hate him. I think he's stupid.
Norris is not a fan of Robert Fett.
I don't like him. There's nothing he did to warrant being cool.
I agree.
So
that said, we did get him teased at the end of the episode.
Yes.
We did see who will, we can only assume, be Boba Fett. He looks like a clone anyway. He should be.
Yeah.
Then that's interesting. I thought, though, to your point, the bait and switch, I thought Timothy Oliphant's character was amazing.
He was great. And if,
that guy's great. I can't wait to see him later in the season.
I'll see him all day, every day.
Chad had feelings.
If I age anything like that man, I am... A golden god at this point. Come on.
Oh. Yeah, no, Timothy Oliphant was a special kind of pretty in that. Mm-hmm. He was pretty amazing. And I thought his character was very good. I'm sure, just like last season, we'll get to the end of this season and all of our friends that we rounded up throughout the season
will somehow
return to help us once again.
Yeah,
we'll be seeing him later.
And I think that's really awesome, and I hope it happens again. But I really appreciate episode 1 because not only did it introduce a new character that I thought was awesome, but it also gave us the best look that we've gotten at the Tusken Raiders, aka the Sand People, that we've ever gotten in any form of Star Wars content.
Yeah, they
ever
talk with sign language.
Yeah, that threw me for a loop.
And they did have someone who speaks in sign language on staff to help develop that language for the Tusken Raiders.
Very cool.
It is a combination of grunts and sign language that I thought was really interesting.
That's kind of how me and Kiefer talk to each other, so that works out. Yeah.
Grunts and sign language.
But I mean, it's
you know, like blind people.
Like, but it was one of those things, man, where I appreciated it because again, Tusken Raiders have been, you know, just, you know, portrayed as like these monstrous people.
Savages
who come down on high and steal Anakin's mom.
I like how in that episode they really explain why they are the way they are. Like he gives a nice, he paints a picture of like they've been here for thousands of years weathering this type of weather, like
living
dealing with
in
people
this
like
awful
you
place.
who steal their water.
Yeah. No,
and you wonder why they're the way they are.
They live in the Dune Sea. That right. place sucks.
It's not a great place.
It's one of the least hospitable places in the galaxy.
Least hospital?
Yeah.
Hospitable.
Whatever.
You're also right. There are no hospitals.
That is also the least hospital place.
Either way, it works. So that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. So we get to episode two.
Norris's favorite episode of the season.
Spiders. Anything involving spiders I just hate.
So let's break down some of the things about this episode that I thought were absolutely amazing.
Yes.
Getting pulled over by the
pulled
rebel
over
police.
By the rebel police. Okay. Let's,
what a commentary.
Let's expand on that, okay? Because, again, this is a great... What The Mandalorian is doing is some of the best Star Wars because they are talking... They touch on the day-to-day of Star Wars more than the movies ever could.
Yeah.
So you got to think. I'm flying around the galaxy in a unmarked vessel, essentially, yeah. right? And I'm flying through Republic space... I'm gonna get pulled over, yeah.
and he does. He gets flanked by two X-wings. Should be noted for those wondering, like, why is that a problem? The X-wing at that era of Star Wars is one of the best ships in the galaxy.
Yes,
throughout the entirety of the Galactic Civil War,
it is a marvel of engineering.
The reason the Rebels had any chance whatsoever is because the X-wing is one of the greatest ships to ever be created.
Yeah, it was their version of. I don't know, the Sherman tank, I guess.
The Sherman tank, the U-boat.
The U-boat. That's a bet. Yeah, that's a good one. It is the U-boat
of Star Wars.
The Star Wars
with less Nazis.
Era where it's just not the U-boat cuz they didn't win. But
fair.
You know, just a marvel of technology that really is, you know, that helped them win the war.
Yeah, they were designed to be able to take out 10 TIE fighters to one X-wing. That's what they were built for.
Yeah, and so he gets pulled over essentially by two X-wings. They switch to a private channel, and all you see is just the S-foils just goes and lock into attack position. They don't say anything to them. They just
you literally just see Mando go.
And it's the best. It's the best.
And look in either direction.
It's the best because, again, and Callie, when we talked about it off air, you were like, what makes the show sometimes so good is how expressive the helmet is, even though nothing on it moves.
Because, yeah, in that moment where you just see him look out the window as the S-foils are opening to attack position, you can just see him going like, oh, boy.
Yeah, it's credit to Pedro Pascal, by the way. For being able to act without his face being seen.
I think that's also a part on the director as well. You got to think of, like, the direction of making that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Makes sense.
Absolutely.
So, they crash down on probably not Hoth or Ilos, but
probably
definitely
just
looks
a
like
gross,
Hoth and Ilos.
A gross ice planet.
Yeah, and they're stuck in a cave, and...
By the way, you're saying they, right?
Here's the
important part. They're smuggling some frog lady and her eggs... across the galaxy, and they can't use hyperspace.
Because it'll damage the eggs.
Because it'll damage the eggs. But Baby Yoda already ate, like, three of her eggs at this point.
Yeah, Baby Yoda starts eating all the eggs, which is weird. I don't know why that... Like, that was a joke they kept going back to. I don't know if that's going to come up later in the season or not.
Maybe just hatches something inside
No, it's to highlight that he's a freaking baby. He's a toddler. He has no self-control. He sees eggs.
He's 50 years old.
He's going to eat the eggs.
He did eat the eggs.
Right. So we have that happening. They land in the ice cave. And I ain't going to spend a lot of time on this, but Baby Yoda completely messes up and cracks open a spider egg. And now giant ice spiders with gross teeth are running after them. They get to the ship.
It gave up some real alien vibes. Like, those eggs, when he walked up, I was like, so they're in the cave. And I'm just sitting there like, I've seen this movie before. Mm-hmm. I saw Alien. If I see an egg, and then like not 2 seconds later, there's an egg on screen, and it's got kind of like that same weird like top, and I'm like, that's a face hugger. If Baby Yoda gets a face hugger, I'm gonna wonder. First of all, they're gonna get sued. You can't do that. And this is gonna be far. And then like he reaches into the egg and pulls the spider out, but it looks like a face hugger.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it was just I didn't like it. Flat out. I just didn't like it. But anyway.
They get attacked by spiders.
They get attacked by spiders. And here's the cool part. Right. Is they eventually get rescued by the same, you know, fighter pilots, the alliance, we got to call them either Alliance or New Republic.
Cause they're New
not,
Republic.
They're not the Rebellion.
Yeah, they're New Republic.
They're New Republic fighter pilots. They get saved by them, and they just, they take it, the dick move, man. Like, instead of arresting the Mandalorian who has saved one of their superior officers.
Mm-hmm. Last season.
Last season, instead of taking them in or saving them, they just say,
We're even. And they leave
Even, and they leave them on the planet.
So the episode leaves off with them leaving the planet in the Razor Crest, which is beat to all hell. They've pressurized the cabin, effectively, the main cabin, and that's all they have, and they're basically limping their way towards the planet. So it's actually a two-part episode.
Yeah. So
what do you foresee in part two?
I think they're going to get to the planet they're trying to get to and drop off the woman and her eggs. And then I don't know what the fuck happens.
Well, here's where I think we start to see the larger arc of the season begin to play out.
Yeah.
Because I think the lady who they're smuggling, the frog lady, is probably significantly more important than we think she is.
Yeah.
Right? And so her and her husband and her brood or whatever are super important.
Two left eggs.
Right? Her two left eggs. And I think the interesting part here is, we have to wonder, because we know that there are some significant, you know, force users. I don't want to call them Jedi, but force users that are floating around and people have been casted already and whatnot. And we got to ask, you know, how do those people get involved with the story as it stands right now? And I think that's how they get involved, is that this frog lady is significantly more important than she or anybody knows. And there's some sort of, you know, force. Maybe her particular brood is incredibly strong in the force. And, you know, we have to sort of fight over her brood and making sure that these little kids are born or whatever. And then there's still the dangling thread of the Moff Gideon?
Yeah, Moff Gideon.
We got Moff Gideon with the Darksaber still running around, which means he technically is the leader of Mandalore, because it's prophesized that the one who wields the Darksaber is the righteous leader of Mandalore.
Pretty much.
And so, yeah, after that, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, there's quite a bit we have to get through. Everyone's theory right now is that Ahsoka is going to appear in episode 5, because episode 5 is directed by Dave Filoni, who, of course, created Ahsoka for Clone Wars. So everyone's thinking that she'll appear in episode 5. So we got two more episodes to kind of set up whatever she's going to be doing. Episode 3 is going to be him dropping off the eggs and probably solving some problem on that planet. And then episode 4, I don't know. I have no idea where it goes. That's what I love about this season, is I have no idea. It's just like last season was.
Yeah.
Every week was kind of a surprise, except for the last week where they like finally everything had come together. You knew what you were going
to
get in the
last
episode.
Yeah, we had to get some sort of resolution.
But
so,
everything was a surprise up until then, and I'm kind of excited that they're picking that up this season. It's a set of loosely tied together stories that will come together.
Eventually
at some point.
Come together.
You know what this is weirdly reminiscent of in a weird way? It kind of reminds me of how sitcoms work. Mm-hmm. There's an overarching story in general. Like you follow a thread of how they live their lives. But you could watch any episode and be like, all right, I got the basic premise.
You know, it's a better comparison. Back in the day, there was a show called Kung Fu, and that's how this show works.
How is that a better comparison? No one's ever heard of that show.
What are you talking about? You never heard of Kung Fu with David Carradine?
I've heard of David Carradine.
That's why you know who he is. It's because of Kung Fu.
I'm sure he would
now
got famous.
I know why he is.
Anyway.
That was a Western that ran 3 seasons in 1972.
Yes!
That show ended 14 years before I was born.
Everybody watched it, though.
It was in
syndication for a long time.
Well, I'm
but
sure.
Anyway, but it's sort of like that where here's this guy just walking across the West, the American West, beating people up and solving problems.
With Kung Fu.
Here's a comparison then. Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yes.
There it is. There's something I can relate to.
Where it's these loosely connected episodes where every now and then they would kind of come together.
Yeah, and they every once in a while will say, I got AIDS, you know.
Yes.
Walker told me I had AIDS.
Is Mando the Chuck Norris of our time?
Could
probably
be.
That sounds like
speaking of, you know what? I was randomly thinking about a Chuck Norris movie the other day, and it's called Sidekicks. And it was a movie about a kid who had daydreams of being Chuck Norris's sidekick.
I saw that movie.
And I don't know why I love that movie, but I love that movie.
Oh, that movie was
It's
trash.
A great movie.
Hey, it was not. Crashed
the Sorry. I was trying to find something because we were talking about Walker, Texas Ranger.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot who it was. They're announcing a reboot.
Of Walker, Texas Ranger.
And guess who's going to be it? I don't know his real name. That's why I wanted
to
look
it up. Okay, so not Chuck Norris.
No, it's a new
person. A new Walker.
I'll give you a hint. It's going to be on the CW.
Oh, God. that means I'm not watching
The biggest show to ever hit CW.
Yeah, it's going to be, I don't know, Amel? What's his name?
I don't know. What was the biggest show on CW? I don't watch CW. What was the biggest show on CW?
Probably spanned 15 seasons, if not.
Could you just, what? Charmed?
Supernatural.
Oh, the guy from Supernatural?
The one with the long hair. I don't know his name off the top of my head. Jared Padalecki.
I don't watch Supernatural.
Jared Padalecki.
Well, I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
But he is apparently taking Chuck Norris's mantle.
No.
He's
not badass enough.
Let me see what this guy looks like.
He's not badass enough.
He's got the right look.
He's not bad. He's not Chuck Norris.
Well, no one's Chuck Norris.
So I just had to bring that up.
Nope, do not want.
Since we were talking about that.
Do not want.
I got to tell you, I can see it, though.
Do not want. I am putting it out there, all right? And I'm ending the show right now. Dear CW, if you reboot Walker, Texas Ranger, and you use this guy, and you don't go and find somebody who is at least 0.5 badass compared to Chuck Norris, not this guy. He's not even the same universe.
This guy fought ghosts and demons and angels.
Chuck Norris fought Jesus that one time. All right.
I must have missed that episode.
All right. Chuck Norris is great. All right. And he's the most ice cold martial artist ever around ever. Okay.
He's got some questionable opinions.
He has bad opinions. But you know what? He can back them up with his fists.
I mean, I'm not saying I want to fight him over them. I'm just saying they suck.
Listen, I don't like his opinions neither. Are you going to tell him to his face?
Hell no.
Exactly.
I'm going to do my all to never converse with you.
Exactly. Anyway, that's going to be the show for today. I don't know how we got where we got. But that's the end of the show. We will see you guys back here tomorrow for the Friday episode. We hope everybody has a great evening. Have a blast. And enjoy Mandalorian tomorrow. All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, what's up? It's James Campbell. Every week on Checkpoint XP On Demand, I'm joined by my co-hosts Weird Beard and Robbie Landis as we bring you a layman's perspective on all things esports and gaming. So whether it's the latest in Overwatch, Ninja doing something crazy, or a Mario Battle Royale, we'll cover it. You can get it on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.